You're listening to The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie Sedgwick. Podcast. Today I am talking with Patty Negri. Many of you may know Patty from Zach Bagan's Ghost Adventures, but I hate to tell you, she's been around a whole lot longer than that. Patty, I do believe that you are the president of the American Federation of Psychics. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Yes, American Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums. But I must say, we're on a wee bit of a hiatus right now because our founder is older, a lot older. I think he's 120. Literally. Health, so we're a little bit slowed down. But yeah, he started this, I don't know, was it 2010 or 12? I remember getting a phone call from somebody saying, oh, we're doing an article like on there are 10 best psychics. I'm like, great. Well, why are you calling me? Don Edwards. They go, no, we don't mean the most famous or the most rich or most anything like that. Just the ones that we think by reputation and by, like, okay. So it was a lovely article and they did it on 10 different people. And the publisher, who's a beautiful man, Maximilian de Lafayette, he's actually a linguist and a lawyer. He speaks 21 languages, ancient languages like ancient Sumerian. So he could talk Anunnaki. He's big in the ET world. And he's this brilliant man. He's become a mentor. He's like, oh my God. And he fell in love with these 10 different psychics from, again, none of us were the famous ones. But he goes, if anybody needs a professional organization, it's you guys. Lawyers have them, doctors have them, waitresses have them, actors have them, bus drivers have them. But if anybody needs something for quality control, because it's true, because you know, for everybody, one of us, one of you, one of me, there's a million scam artists. There's a million people just out for your money, not out to help you. Everybody's got a demon, a curse. You've got the curse on, you know. So he came up with this really rigid testing thing. He tested me. Now but it's beautiful. And so they check backgrounds that you've never gotten in trouble for things. You know, do the weird upsells and all that stuff. But sadly, over a year now, we're just, I just calling it a hiatus because
that's actually where I first heard of you. It wasn't even through the TV. I was interested in finding an organization for credibility because I was fearful from a lot of the scam artists that are out there. Because, you know, my husband is one of those, he does not believe in any of it. Period. So this is an area where we argue quite a bit because I'm like, everybody has the ability to be psychic. Some people it's more open to it naturally and other people work to develop it, but it can be done and it's a real thing. And he's just like, no, it's not yet. I will tell you, Patty, he is the single most intuitive person I know. I'm serious. He used to do my scheduling and I would have a client that would like cancel and reschedule. And I'd be like, woohoo, I'm going to have 10 minutes to go to the store. He would call me, where are you? And I'm like, I'm out with visits. And he goes, no, you're not. I'm like, how do you know this? I thought he had a tracker on my phone, on my car. I like checked everything, nothing. I mean, he just knows. But he does that with a lot of different things. So I was looking for something that would give me some credibility that I felt good about being a part of, because that's the other thing is you see a lot of these groups and you're like, I don't know if that's really legit, you know, and you just get that feel. So your name popped up and I thought, well, how cool is she, just from, you know, reading your bio and looking at your pics. And then you ended up, I saw you on Zach Bagan's like a year later and I was like, hey, that's that same lady. Cool. And then he ended up coming to Miracles of Joy and I was just like, at that point I'm like fangirling going, you know,
I'm coming back to Miracles of Joy. I'm doing my own weekend there. I'm doing a thing with Joy Tuesday night, just an online thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, weren't you guys supposed to come out this month anyway for that, and then they end up moving it to online?
everything's canceled, everything's pushed back. So we're not going to do our group thing where like the five or six of us come out. We're not going to do it till next year. Because everything from the first part, but I'm going to come out and just do a Patty kind of witchy weekend.
That would be great. Two or three classes.
Yes, yes. So
that would be great because I love your little signs back there, witch and fiends. The audience can't see that, but I can.
I usually cleaned out my office so I could actually talk to people here now. It was this last fall. I was just so busy and I was traveling so much. I one day woke in my office and I went, oh, it looks like a hoarder's office. Things were stacked up on the desk and my travel stuff. And I went,
Yeah, Harold just redid mine for me. I had a big table because he has a TV for me so that if I have to be there for a good part of the day, I have something to occupy my mind. And he took that out and put a smaller table in and put Lucille, my crystal ball, on the table for me on a little black mat. And he rearranged everything and, you know, was moving things around to make it more aesthetically pleasing. And it did, actually. I mean, it opened the whole room out, but he put up all my credentials ministry, my Reiki certifications and all of that. And so, you know, I was like, oh, you do love me.
That's really nice. And my husband just kind of grumbled when he walked through, but he does keep saying how nice it looks now.
Yeah, well, you did. Yeah, I saw your before and after photos. So
yeah, no, it was bad, and it's good now. So next, I have to move to the master bedroom. It's pretty bad.
Oh yeah.
People are there all the time, but I have too much stuff.
That's me. I need to just go through and do an elimination of the unnecessary. Let go of what no longer serves me, which is a good amount of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm sentimental, so. Now, I have to ask you about something else I read about you once. I read that you danced with Gregory Hines.
I did. Oh, my God. I'm a tapper. I'm a dancer from childhood up. And I've taken every kind of dance, but I'm not that good at ballet. I've always did jazz or tap. But my tap is brilliant, even though it wasn't a movie. So I was cast in a movie, God, a long time ago, called Arms for Peace with Chevy Chase, Gregory Hines. They were two stars, a bunch of different people. It was directed by William Friedkin, who's a big famous director. And I had like two or three lines, no big deal. And I was dancing. And I remember trying out for it. I don't even think I knew Gregory Hines was in it. And I got the part and they had a different choreographer for whatever reasons. And Gregory Hines, I'm like, this is Gregory Hines. And he's like, I'm Gregory Hines, in a nice way, not in the ego way. He goes,
right.
How about if I choreograph this? And I did. It's like, so I was like, my idol since my whole life. I danced. Yes. So, you know, there's not that much into the move. It's there. I'm doing my thing. Not even tap, but I've got all the pictures from the studio of me with him. And it looks so funny. The director, William Friedkin, was Chevy Chase. He was having a baby at the time. William Friedkin was kind of a crazy man, but good. But he didn't understand what professional dancers, when you're learning something, you literally are kind of phoning it in. It's called marking it. You know, you don't want to put everything into your 28 times practicing something. You're going step left, right, arm, whatever you're doing. And you're just kind of marking. It's called marking it. So I think William Friedkin was watching me from the camera, like thinking, oh, she's not very good. And then we went to the film and I danced. I didn't just go step. And he's like, oh, you are good.
Oh, you do know what you're doing.
I've never done a dance movie before, have you? I mean, it wasn't even a dance movie. This was just one scene.
So but did he cast you in any other parts after that?
No, he didn't.
Bummer. But you got to dance with Gregory Hines. That is an exclusive club. I read that and I was like, oh, girl's holding out on me. She didn't say anything about that.
that was the highlight. And I actually, in my redo of The Office, I just ordered some frames and I'm going to put up a couple of those pictures.
Because you will have to post pictures of that.
Yeah,
So let's get into the witchy side of things, because one of the things about the American Federation of Psychics that I notice is you guys have it broken down as to like light workers, which I'm assuming are people who do light healing, Reiki, I'm assuming probably Akashic record readings, which I love reading people's Akashic records. I know. Not for the nosiness of it, but because you get so much information that's transformational for them. You know, when you tell them, here's why this is happening to you, you're locked into this karmic pattern because of this and this, let's clear it. And then their lives change. And, you know, they see you years later and tell you, man, that was fantastic. And now I'm doing this and this. And you see the joy. And it's just like, oh, that makes it worth it.
Why we do what we do. It's just like, you see little absolutely light bulbs on every once in a while. It's like, oh, wow. I get
exactly
it.
And I love that. So one of the things that caught my attention, excuse me, I think I'm going to sneeze. It's Texas. It's springtime. Yeah. Along with, you know, all the usual Beltane celebration comes the allergies. But no, I guess I'm not going to, so never mind. And where was I going with my train of thought that just went right off
about,
the track?
Light worker or
right. And then you have witchcraft as a separate group there. So I know when you and I met at Miracles of Joy at lunch, we were talking a little bit about, you know, you've always had an ability to communicate with the spirit world and you've seen things since you were a child. And, you know, we were talking about some of the similarities that we had, and then you had to go back to work. So it kind of ended that conversation. But I was interested in finding how you came to a path of witchcraft itself, because to me, being psychic is totally separate from being a witch.
Completely different. Completely different. And even being, as you know, being a witch means many different things. You could choose it as, this is my religious path. I am Wiccan, right, or I am ceremonial, or I am chaos, or I am Gardnerian, or I am Diana.
Right.
Or being a witch, just to practice the craft. I believe in witchcraft, where we change and shift things. I think that was born in me. I would really, just like talking to dead people since I was a little kid, doing a seance when I was 7 or 8 years old, I also would literally find myself, you know, in my suburban Los Angeles backyard, going up to the rosemary, picking rosemary, knowing, you know, if I would put some of that in my mom's purse, she would bring her more money. And
right,
making weird concoctions of herbs and plants in the backyard and doing weird things with dirt. You know, I mean, I think a lot of kids do. Again, it's like instinct, intuition, whatever you want to call it.
It's something within you.
It's in the blood. People call it witch blood. If people have psychic blood, the medium blood. Some people call it angel blood. Some people call it extraterrestrial blood. But this one,
all of the above.
Mine is very elemental, very earth-based. You know, my practice is very eclectic, but everything is very
The same here. Yeah, mine's very eclectic. And I find that there's something to be had from various different paths that I incorporate into my practice of manipulating. To me, witchcraft is both a religion and a way of life. You know, to me, it's a religion because it is your way of life. To me, your religion is what governs your decisions day to day, ethically based, right? So for me, that's the crap. I don't do something bad because something bad eventually works its way back to you, typically, you know? So you have to be very careful when you're doing something like a binding or a return to sender or even a mirror box, because some level of that will make its way back to you, you know, obviously. So, you know, for me, it was kind of a meandering sort of path because I grew up in a very strict Christian household. So it wasn't like, you know, I could just, my mom would say, what are you, a witch? Every time I'd like have a dream and I would tell her this is going to happen and it would happen. And she'd be like, what are you, a witch? You know, like it was a bad thing. So it's kind of like, eh. And now I'm kind of like, yeah. So, you know, was it open in your family? Was that something that you just kind of came out and said, look, this is who I am, deal with it? Or was it something you came to? Were you initiated in a coven? Or
it was really funny. I was raised without really typical suburban family. We weren't raised with any belief system or religion. My mom would have been she would call herself Protestant, but we'd never been to church a day in her life. My dad didn't really believe in anything. My dad's dad, my grandfather, which was this very big philosopher, psychoanalyst, very Freudian. He wrote lots of books. He was like practically evangelical atheist. Did not believe in anything. He was the head of the American Society of Humanist Friends or something. he was super academic, super science based, super. He hung out with like Carl Sagan and Isaac Asimov. Science, legit. He thought anything religious or spiritual or supernatural was a weakness in itself. So God was a dirty word in our family, or so I thought. It was just enough. I'd never been in a church, but I had the sight. So I would drive by, whether it was a typical Christian church or a Jewish temple or a mosque, and I'd see the energy. I'd see the vibration of the energy, and I'd want to go into any of them.
Yeah.
We just didn't talk about it, and I knew Grandpa was this big leader of the world and wrote books about religion and blah, blah, blah. But I think I was, by the time I was 13, by the time I went, I got brave enough to ask my mom if I could go to church, regular born-again, New Age Christian church, because some cute rock band, the Christian rock band, you know, this was in the 70s, Christian rock, gonna play there.
Michael W. Smith.
I almost would have felt less scared going, can I go to a wild rave party than can I go to church with my girlfriend or friend? And my mom goes, yeah, you can do anything you want. I what? You can do anything you want. I go, I can't. So thus began a seeker. So I went to all this Christian path and the born again Jesus people of those late 70s. And it was fun. And I felt the spirit. But there was just something that
missing something, wasn't it?
My path just didn't quite click. I wanted not somebody else showing what to forgive it or not. And so I tried Buddhism. I even tried some Judaism, which is part of my roots on my dad's side, had he had religion. Skittled around. I guess in the 80s, the New Age thing, and Shirley MacLaine came along, and I'm like, but that was a little crystally New Age, though I do work with crystals. It was a little squeaky, white, fluffy chiffoni. And then I became upon the pagan path. I think it was in Long Beach Women's Spirit, which is a group here in LA. And it was this beautiful group of, not all women, but it was that. And I discovered the pagan path. And I think they're a pretty eclectic group. And from that, we started a very eclectic circle. We were together for years and years and years and years till everybody kind of literally moved away, went their separate ways. And then even once I discovered the pagan path, I'm still a seeker. It's like, I'm going to go this way. Oh, no, my, they're too this for me. Ah, no, that's too that traditional British crap. I like that, but it's air-based. It's not element-based. I'm elemental. You know, I like parts of, you know, this. So I still can't pick one.
Right. Well, see, and that's kind of the issue I had with the traditional gardenerian is I grew up being raised in Church of Christ, you know, and I'm here in the Bibleville, Texas. So, you know, when I hit my 40s, my mother-in-law, who was very devoutly Catholic, and I spent 20 years as a diehard Catholic, man, I was studying to become an apologist for the Catholic Church. And that's what really turned me away from it altogether, because growing up in the Church of Christ, there was always a little something missing. It, you know, I felt what my mom, you know, like all the fire and all the passion and you know, the spiritualism of it, but there was something about it that just didn't click right. And so when I went to the Catholic Church, they were able to answer a lot more of the questions I had growing up, because I got in trouble for asking questions growing up. And that kind of turned me away from it more, because I wasn't, you know, my mom's like, stop being a smartass. Well, I wasn't trying to be a smartass. I was trying to ask a legitimate question I wanted an answer to. But I realize now it's because she couldn't answer me. So, you know, it was when my mother-in-law had passed away, and I was dissatisfied with a lot of what I saw going on in the Catholic Church. And I reconnected with my cousin, who has been practicing for 30 years. And I was like, oh, I've always kind of been bent that way anyway. So I asked her if I wanted to know more, where would I go? And she directed me to Dr. Buckland's Big Blue. And that was it. I was like, yep, this makes total 100% perfect sense to me. And I like the fact that you're responsible for your own actions. There's no devil that made you do it. Honey, you chose to do that. You're responsible for that.
Yeah. Your 12 Hail Marys are just for giving to Jesus. I didn't get it. And when you said the asking questions, that's the first clue on me on the Christian, because I don't know anything. I don't have, the upbringing, and like, I was talking to the born again Christian church. I'm like, well, tell me about Buddhism. I'm going to go talk to a Buddhist. Well, you can't talk to a Buddhist. That's taking your eyes off God. That's a sin. Talk to us right. about Buddhism. No, that doesn't feel
yeah,
right.
Kind of need to know what their thoughts are on that. Yeah. I resented the fact that everything about you is a sin. Everything that makes you human is a sin. How can that be wrong? That's the way you're made. So either God made a mistake or there's a problem here. You can't, you know, the cognitive dissonance, excuse me, I cannot speak today. Apparently I need my own treatment. The cognitive dissonance going on in there in my mind was just became so loud that I just said, you know what? This is it. And one verse popped into my head, and it was the one where Jesus says, I will that thou be hot or cold, or I shall spew thee from my mouth. And I went, well, I'm going to be real hot, because according to my mama, I'm going to burn in hell. But at least I have gone the way that I felt was the way I should go. You know, I forgot where I was going with that train of thought, too. See, it keeps derailing on me. It's this whole COVID thing. But you were saying about how you couldn't learn about the other faiths, and that was something that my mom had too. She was very much against our going to church with any of our friends, especially Catholic. You know, those are evil, idol worshiping Satan lovers. Might as well march themselves to hell right now because that's where they're going. You know, so when the Gardnerian, that's what you were saying. You were talking about the Gardnerian. That to me just smacked so much of the dogma I felt I'd just gotten away from. That's been my issue with all of the Wiccan practices and why I've stayed largely away from a coven. The fact I just don't gel well with a whole lots of people. You know, I get along well with people on an individual basis, but you get a group of people and I'm always the one sitting out here on the outside and I don't like that. So, you know, I didn't want to go back into what I'd just gotten out of.
Right. No. That's why I go to and participate in a lot of public rituals, and I'm very loose and because again, we're humans, and all this weird politics comes in. You get a group together, and it gets political. Not political, but it's
no. Awesome. I mean, you get the politics of the group, all the little cattiness and the infighting, and the no, thank you. I can do without that. Yeah, I agree.
Great people. It was so funny though, because now I read my grandfather's books, and he's Mr. Big Atheist Science Minded. But I read his books now, and it's like, oh, you're just using different words. Philosophy is the same. You just use different words. You use very science words, because that's what I look at any of the religions though. And if you find the true line underneath, there is those common denominators, and it goes down to energy. That's why I say everything is energy. So I don't.
Absolutely. Well, and Einstein says the same thing, and he was a genius.
There you go. So I guess I'm a genius.
No, I perfectly agree with you, because I mean, it is energy all around you, and all witchcraft is the manipulation of those energies to suit a purpose or a need to bend it in the direction you need it to go. If you think it doesn't work, take a look at a light switch. You know, today's science is yesterday's witchcraft. You know, exactly. If you'd have told people 200 years ago that you could turn a light on in the room by snapping your fingers and you flip the lights at the same time, they're going to go, woo, you know, but it's really all the same. It's an understanding of those energetic forces and how to manipulate them and how to communicate with that which is us, because everybody has their own philosophies. But my belief is, you know, physics teaches us there's 10, minimum 10 dimensions, right? So we exist within that third dimension, right? Touch, sight, sound, all that good stuff. But our soul goes beyond the fourth dimension of mind and the fifth dimension and beyond. But once you get that higher level, that soul material, we all come from the same source. So it makes it easier to communicate at that level. And so it's just a matter of being able to access that level in order to get that information or to send that message or to communicate. And there are those of us that can tap into that a little bit easier than others, I think. Because we're more open to it.
Yeah, I think so too. Again, and open, and we're taking away the rules. No, this isn't. No, there's a box here. You can't move your box. Or it's just like all the good stuff's outside that box.
Exactly.
put, my friend. That was beautifully put. I like that. The light switch thing. It's true. Even what we're doing right now. We're having a face-to-face conversation, though people aren't seeing it. On the other side, you know, halfway across.
I don't know. Today, that's probably a good thing.
Yes.
As mentioned, the hair place has been closed for months. Yeah. No, it's true. But you know what? I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, Logan's Run, when the little girl calls him on the TV, you know, on the little TV that he has sitting on the table there. And I'm like, Mom, can we have a phone like that? She's like, they don't exist. Well, here we are today.
Here we are. Right on it. Yeah. Yep.
Science fiction, science, witchcraft, it all gets kind of in my opinion. Because a lot of what people thought was impossible, here we are today. So I think it's fabulous. And I think this is just a conduit, but when you have the ability to open your mind and tap into that energy, you don't even need this to communicate.
Right.
You know, you can just send your message right on through. Ask any mom whose kid's been in trouble. Guaranteed she knew something was going on.
Yeah, she knew something was going on. Did you feel it when you had it when you were a kid too? You just didn't know.
Oh gosh. My mother will tell you, you know, when you were a little kid, you'd be in your room and you'd be talking to people. I would hear different voices. She goes, I thought you were talking to somebody in your room. I'd open the door and it's just you. You know, so my mom knew, but my mom was the same way. So it was my dad's mother and my mother's mother, my mother. You know, my mom, when my sister, my mother and I, when someone's going into the hospital or is going to be in an accident or get sick, we know it because we smell that old hospital-y smell, that old disinfectant-y, band-aid-y hospital smell. And I will instantly pick up the phone for our call. People, are you okay? Are you there? Are you okay? Are you okay? Something happens to somebody close to me. Every time. And my mother does the same thing. So, you know, for me, it was, she would know things. We would all kind of know things. When my grandfather passed away a few years ago, my dad's mother, I had an office in a little town just south of me, like maybe 10 minutes south of me, called Little Elm. And we were sitting in the office and I looked at my husband and said, my mom's going to call. My grandfather passed away. And sure enough, boom, the phone rang. I picked up the phone. I said, when did granddaddy pass away? And she's like, I knew you'd know.
Wow. Passed away this morning.
So, you know, but she's that same way too, which is why I never understood why it was such an issue for her. And
so has she gotten over guilty about it?
You know, I don't know, because my sister was not practicing the craft until about 2 years ago. And I took a trip to San Antonio to visit with some friends of mine. And there was a shop there that I wanted to check out called Unlimited Thought. So my sister said, well, I want to go with you. So I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, let's go. And it was just like 5 minutes from the hotel I was staying in. So we get there and I'm like, man, this place is great. The energy in there was fantastic. And my sister's just asking me, what is this? 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 Now, she's always been a lot the same way. So, you know, I asked her recently, I was like, well, does mom know you're pregnant? Well, because her ex-husband kind of outed her to my mom, basically. And my mom got very upset, wasn't talking to her at first, but she didn't ever say anything to me. And I said, well, does mom know I'm pregnant? And she's like, oh yeah, she knows, you know, and she just doesn't bring it up. She just doesn't bring it up at all. You know, I think that but she gave my sister a book about herbal healing that she had from way back in the late 70s, early 80s. She found it when she was cleaning out the house and she gave it to my sister. So I was like, see, I told you. It's always been there. But, you know, I used to see spirits and would talk to them. And for a long time, I learned to shut it out completely. So now I'm trying to gain that gift back, you know, because I had gotten so good at. Yeah, because people think you're crazy when you tell them that you know, you're seeing people that aren't there or you're talking to someone they can't see. They think you're nuts. But I think I'm gaining some of that back because I went to there's a shop in Fort Worth called the Enchanted Forest. And I love that little place. It's a tiny little place, but the owner's fantastic. It's been there, I think, 30 years, going on 30 years now. And a friend of mine who's kind of big on the YouTube thing, she and a friend of ours from Oklahoma went with me to the shop, and then we went to the cafe across the street, which was fabulous. And I'm looking around, and I'm seeing this old man sitting at a table for two against the wall, and he's kind of like at an angle. So like I'm sitting here, Tequila and Bex are here, and he's back here, kind of back to my back right shoulder. For the listeners, I just realized you can see me, but the listeners can't.
And over there, I got it.
There's somebody sitting across from the old man. Now, the old man's the only one eating, and the other person's just sitting there, and they're not talking. And I'm like, So I was like, that's odd. You know, and nobody else even seems to notice that the guy, like, the waitress comes over, gives the old man coffee, doesn't pay any attention to the guy sitting across the table from him. So I went, I wonder. Well, then I noticed that Bex is staring across the way, and then Tequila starts to look across the way. And I'm looking at the two of them, and I'm kind of looking back, and I'm just kind of going, And so Bex goes, do you think the old man knows he's there? And Tequila's like, I was wondering the same thing. And then, you know, as I look back, the old man looks up and smiles at the person across from him. And we all went, yeah, he sees him.
Wow, that's good.
He knows he's there. You know, so don't know who he was. Don't know what his relationship was to the old gentleman, but, you know, I was like, it's coming back. What do you know? But yeah, it did. And it freaked my mom out, so I shut it out for a really long time. But what about you? How did you open up to that? Because you told me you had a lot of similar experiences when you were young growing up.
Yeah. I had a period of time when I wanted to shut it down too, those post-teen years, you just want to be normal like everybody else. Or again, when I went into the religion thing and I don't want to see this stuff, before I learned to control stuff, did you ever have trouble just staying in your body? I would just all the time. Now I
didn't have as much of that problem, but
I did. I actually learned, somebody told me, go wear a hat, it keeps your spirit in there. Okay, so I walked around.
Did it work?
It actually did. It's so funny. It actually did. I bet you I haven't done it late because I can kind of. I figured out the light switch.
Well, my friend Matt Oren uses a ring. He has a ring, and when he doesn't want to hear people, he puts the ring on and he tells himself, "I am not reading people." When he goes to do a reading for someone, he takes the ring off before he starts the reading. You know, it's kind of his little, and he teaches you in his, he has a book that just came out, and he teaches you how to do that, how to create that kind of switch for yourself. Because see, for me, it was people would just come talk to you. They would approach you, you know, because they know you can see them. So, you know, at night when you're trying to sleep, you know, or you're at a sleepover with a friend and you're telling people, stop, leave me alone. And your friends are like, who are you talking to? You know, but they just won't get out of your face. You know, I just completely learned to shut it out. I regret that now because it's been hard to, I still sensed things, but the actual seeing and being able to communicate direct with them, I just basically I terminated that. Now I think my youngest daughter is very much that way. She had a friend that sadly took his life a little bit before Christmas a couple of years ago. And she told me point blank, I saw Caleb. I spoke to Caleb. He was at my work. He was standing on the side of the road when I drove by, you know, so I know it's there, but I can't get her to really openly talk to me about it because she thinks that what she's experiencing is different from what I've experienced. So I'm like, but I still understand where you're going from. And I don't think you're crazy, you know? But you know,
I tried to shut it down. Then I decided, no, I like it when I again discovered this new path that I like so well. And I like the idea of a ring, but I literally have what a switch. Besom, this side of the Besom, that side of the Besom, whether I really lay the room.
I love it.
Inside of my mundane world where you pay your rent and you pay your bills and you pay your mortgage and you gravity counts and you have to be logical and you can't talk to ghosts in front of weird people you don't know. And the other side of the Besom is where anything can happen, where you know, gravity doesn't count and you can count. And it makes both sides stronger. So I go through, you know, if I'm just out shopping and going through the day, I'm just normal. It's just I cross the broom. I don't really lay down the broom, but I have and I can. But I like your friend with the ring. It's easier. But I really usually just kind of picture it like a light switch. That's why I love your analogy.
Exactly. So you got your switch. Yeah.
I'm shutting off now. I don't want to talk to people's, you know, dead mothers in the grocery store.
Right, exactly. The one that keeps following her around trying to get her attention. Yeah. 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 Well, and the sad part is, like, if you go someplace, like, you know, these haunted hotels, because I run a YouTube channel called Witches of the Moon. And one of the topics that our viewers asked us to do is, you know, haunted places you'd like to go to. And one of our hosts, Dia, she's so funny. She goes, none, none. When I'm on vacation, I don't want to talk to people. Because when they know you can see them, they come for you. They want your attention because you're the only person that can see them. She goes, so for me, the answer is none. You know? I was like, you know, she has a point there, because there's nothing more unnerving than waking up and somebody standing at the foot of the bed and you got no idea who it is, you know, yet. I'm sure you'll find out by the end of the night, you know, but it does make it more fun when you're more open to that, because these places that say, well, if you can sleep in this room all night, you can sleep there for free. I'm on for that challenge.
Yeah.
When you're on. You
know? Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a few places I really want to go that I haven't been yet, like Myrtle's Plantation and a few others that I've just stumbled on. But I've had a few, you know, and we were filming a good, scary haunted room. Because one thing I think about living in Hollywood is we have happy ghosts. It's one thing to go to the old insane asylum or the serial killer and all the bad ghosts are. The ghosts that hang out at the Hollywood Roosevelt, the American Legion, and they hang out there because they had a good time in life. And I was in the Montgomery Clift room, who was an old movie star who lived at the Hollywood Roosevelt for 3 months while he was filming From Here to Eternity. And it was just the best
experience. Good movie.
Yeah. And what they used to complain, because Roosevelt was this glamour Hollywood place built in like 1929. All the stars stayed there. And he lived there for 3 months while he was filming, and he had to play a trumpet in the movie, I guess. So he would practice playing the trumpet, and it's a little tiny hotel room, and the guests would complain and things. So when I first showed up, there was this other spirit there, and it didn't look real Hollywood, and he was older, and he was kind of like, not in literal words, but who are you? I was like, well, who are you? I'm like, well, I'm Patty.
I'm Patty.
You know, we're kind of filming this thing, but the crew's going away. They're just leaving. Who are you? Well, I'm Monty's attaché. I'm Monty's confidant. I'm Monty's assistant. And I'm looking at them, you can say that now.
Oh, yeah. It's okay to say that today.
You can say that. And I didn't know anything that Montgomery Kemp was gay or bi or whatever, because I don't look stuff up before I go. I don't just.
Yeah, that's me. I don't like to know anything about where I'm going, you know.
I don't want to. So I had no idea that he was, but it was so cute. But I brought a trumpet with me because that's what he played. I didn't want to play it a lot because I didn't want the other, you know, tenants to go, oh my God. But I really wanted to split. I slept the trumpet in the Hollywood Roosevelt. But the second I blew it, it was so funny. I felt like they slipped me a Mickey. They knocked me out. I went out. I had all this stuff planned. I was going to do stuff. I was knocked out. And my dream life was crazy, but that didn't help the filming. But come the morning, I really crossed time and space. I was getting up. It's a little hotel room for $500 a night. And it was a bathroom. There wasn't even room to lay down your toothbrush. It was just so tiny. And I'm brushing my teeth. And I'm like, oh, hurry up, brush your teeth. I already brushed my teeth. No, I didn't already brush my teeth. I was like going back. And I wasn't channeling him, but I was going back and forth in time, this 50 whatever years. In the shower, like, I gotta hurry with the quick, wait the quick. I already did this. No, I felt his frustration of living there for 3 months. It was
right.
A trip of that experience. It's like time and space crossing.
Just kind of collapsed in on each other, huh?
So, and again, you're right. People, they could see you. It's like we have an open sign on, you know, open.
That's right. You know, so I really liked that idea of, okay, now I don't see you, now I do, now I don't, now I do. And the funny thing is, I was wearing a ring on this finger that had a moonstone in it that my grandmother had given me years ago, and the stone fell out. When I decided that was going to be my trigger, the stone fell out. I was like, And of course, all this is going down, so I can't go down to the Rock Barrel and get a new stone to put in it. You know, that's not happening. So I was like, fudge nickels.
I guess it wasn't supposed to be that stone for whatever
Wasn't
reason.
supposed to be that ring for whatever reason. So yeah, I still have the setting. I don't know if I'm gonna, it was real thin, kind of oval shape, so I don't know if I'll be able to find something that'll mount in there, but I was gonna try once all this is over. Hopefully the Rock Barrel will still be in business and I can go and find out. But so that brings me to another thing. So as you move through life, and how did you get into you talked a little bit about the American Federation of Psychics and that kind of thing. And I know you probably started getting a little bit more people who knew your name from that. How did you get into did you grow up in Hollywood or did you move to Hollywood? How did you get into the whole Hollywood aspect of it?
I'm a Hollywood girl. I didn't grow up in Hollywood, but in Los Angeles. I was a model, actually. I was a teen model.
I believe it.
I when many decades and decades ago, I worked for Teen Magazine. I modeled for Teen Magazine. I was a Miss Teen America, like contest pageant girl. But I was shy. I was kind of crazy shy, and that's when I was shutting down this other side of myself. And so I was an actor. I studied acting, and I went into that whole modeling was boring, so I went into acting. Then I took a left turn because I like to take left turns. I was like, oh, I'm tired of modeling. I want to be a nurse. So I spent a few years working in a hospital and doing. But that wasn't it. When you're tap dancing on bedpans, dreaming of
You're
playing.
right.
Oh, this
And I'm
wasn't
sure
joy.
for someone such as yourself, working in a hospital is loads of fun.
Yes. And oh, but no, so I went, I'm not, I had my magical world. I had my belief system, my coven at the time, but I kept it very separate because at the ripe old age of 30, when I was too old for Hollywood, or so I thought, because again, I worked on being the pretty girl. I was a lava girl on Fantasy Island. I was,
Really? I
that.
love that show.
Yeah. Oh my God. Look in the background.
I'm
I
gonna
would
have to
bring
go
Rourke
look now.
drink the champagne on the little thing, and you ran around in little bikinis and sarongs
Yeah,
and
I'm gonna
giggle.
have to go back and watch that again now and go, I know her.
So anyway, so by 30, I was too old for Hollywood. So I'm like, oh. I'm over the hill. Well, I still like doing what I do, so I started my own production company. I was doing
Hey.
live. I had a sketch and improv background. I had, again, my spiritual life was completely separate. And then my production company was really corporate. I started doing live big song and dance extravaganzas for teaching motivation, or teaching HR skills to whoever, Microsoft ethics to oil men. Or murder mysteries or scavenger hunts. I specialize in interactive, but it was so corporate. They can't know that I'm some goofy person who wears cloaks and dances around
Right.
bonfires, talking to goddess
Yeah.
deity. So I kept it so separate. But in 2008, I think, again, two very corporate or theatrical world and which psychic medium? 2008, I think. Somebody who knew me and knew my seances and knew what I did, and the corporate market crashed. So I was in
Right.
corporate entertainment, which I did became a dirty word because all those big old dudes were, paying $50,000 for hookers and calling it corporate entertainment. The stock market fell, and nobody's like, our company's breaking. We can't paid to be have a big song and dance extravaganza or a scavenger hunt across the Greek Islands or whatever we were doing. So
Right.
my business started tanking. At the same time, reality television was moving up. I remember a friend asked me, he's going, we're doing the show called We Need Somebody Who's Legit and Who Knows How to Do a Seance to do a seance on a show. It's a CMT, a country music television show called Mobile Home Disaster. Please, will you do it? And I'm thinking, well, who in the world,
Okay.
who's gonna whoops gonna watch a CMT and a show called Mobile Home Disaster? Nobody. Sure, I'll do it.
Right,
I
exactly.
mean, and it was so fun filming at this new. It goes with the sketch and improv that I did for years at the Comedy Store, where that back and forth, not a scripted line, that they follow you around, you think fast, but I was doing my real gift. And we brought some closure to this, to the, what happened in the place. And it's like, you mean you're just going to follow me around with three cameras and I do what I do and I give my message? This is fun. So, but okay, so I figured nobody was going to watch it. I remember after it aired, the next day I got a call from one of my very corporate clients, like a national corporate client. And it was like, Patty, I saw you on TV last night. And I'm like, oh,
like what? Oh, crap.
Thank Eric or whoever it was.
Out of the bag now.
I'll never work for them. She goes, I didn't know you were into the paranormal. I love the paranormal. And we had our best conversation ever, this like 20-minute long, blah, 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 talking ghosts, spirits, spiritualism, the whole thing. And I'm like, oh. And so I was out of the closet, out of the broom closet, starting out of the broom closet, out of the psychic closet. And again, the corporate market continued to plummet. And the reality thing, once they figured out kind of who I was, that I'm a trained actor, I know how to hit a mark, I know how to talk in sign bags, but I'm legit and I won't fake anything. I'm not going to say I see a ghost if I don't. They don't.
Right.
And so all of a sudden I'm doing every show in town if they needed either a psychic or a medium or a witch or whatever. So it was just really natural progression, not what I wanted. And for a long time I struggled and struggled to keep them both going, but it just took over. It just did a complete cross. What, and I still have my production company. You can go find my website. But I don't, I did one little thing last year. I have actors I can pull in if I need something. But this is my passion. And this, even though then I was teaching people how to motivate and be happy in the workplace, now I'm teaching from a deeper, more spiritual level.
Right.
And
For somebody who's taken one of your classes, let me tell you, I don't have Dre with me. My dragon, he's in the other room. My dragon, yeah. Poor Dre. But you know, I do credit him with helping find the job that my husband did get, even though briefly. So I'm hoping he'll come through as my personal assistant, help me out with that area again. But you know, I can say that you carry an energy that's very positive, that's very but I will tell you, it's very different from like East Coast, West Coast. Because like I have friends that are part of the Cabot Kent Hermetic Temple out of Salem, Massachusetts. It's Lori Cabot. It's very, very, you know, traditional, you know, very Salem type, you know. They have this whole genre Halloween thing. And yours was very, you're going to hate me for saying this, but very, very Cassie Nightingale. And I do mean that as a compliment from the bottom of my heart, because I freaking love that cheesy little show. I will watch it faithfully. But it is very different. Like just the feel is different, you know, and it's interesting to see that difference, because I actually have a friend from England. We were going to start a book together, a dialogue between us about how the practice is different in England versus the United States. And, you know, I said, you know, it's kind of funny how you think about that. Cause she's like, well, what is it about living in Texas that makes you different as a witch? And I was like, we wear boots. we carry guns and go to the range. I don't know what to tell you. It's just what it is, you know, but it's funny because I had to sit down and really think about that. I'm like, we use a lot more jalapenos in our outfit powder, I guess.
It is. It's so different because I'm an LA girl. I am an LA California girl. And I've been a design my path magic around that. I remember being at Miracles of Joy. And here we are doing a spiritual conference at a New Age metaphysical store. And I remember seeing two people at that conference were carrying firearms. To a little LA girl, it's like, what?
I was one of those people. You know, and the thing is it's just, that's the way it is around here. You know, we don't think anything about it because it's something that you don't ever plan on using. You hope you never have to, but you sure want to be prepared if you do. And with as crazy as people have gotten today, you can't even go to the movie theater without somebody trying to take you out. So, you know, it's like insurance, right? You have it, you hope you never have to use it.
Culture, so I ever even got judgmental about it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I'll make you a promise. Next time you're in town and we could go, I'll take you to the range.
Okay, I will go with you. I actually did. I not for my other part of the production company side, I again do interactive. and this just stopped 2 years ago, actually. I'm a wiener wrangler. I wrangle wiener dogs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have miniature dachshund. He's around here somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you have a miniature dachshund?
Yeah.
Did I know that?
His name is Pinto Bean. We have seven dogs, girl. Seven dogs. We have two blue heelers. We have a lab mix. They're all rescues. All but one of them are rescues. Our beagle, who will be 17 in December, is the only one from a breeder. All of the rest of our dogs are rescues. And yeah, our little Pinto Bean, we actually got him for our daughter because we rescued a long-haired dachshund for her. And she, like Shadow, needed a friend to keep him company when she was at work. So we got Pinto Bean, and he just in the apartment too much. So she's like, can you hold him for me until, you know, till we get a house? And I was like, sure. And then, no, ma'am. Sorry, my daughter's like, or what, have y'all just up here? No, ma'am. See, I told you. Girl needs a mentor. She doesn't want mama. So I'm trying.
No, but I'm a wiener dog girl. That's what I started running the wiener dog, wiener nationals in like the seven western states. I did a lot in Texas. Last time we were in Texas, where were we? It was a place where it got cold. It was like 13 below when we were there. We had to move the wieners.
Oh, wow.
Was it? I don't know. We were in Texas. It was, but we went out shooting to like a range, not even a range. We were just out in the middle of nowhere, but it was snowy and freezing. I'm like, when in Texas?
In Texas, of all days. Yeah, you caught us that weird year.
Yeah, we're on air, so they won't see. I just lost my 14 and a half year old Doxy.
Yeah, saw your post on that. Well, I love little Pinto. Usually, I'm surprised he's not here because usually when he hears me, like, I've been doing a lot of teletherapy, and he just has to be like seeing who I'm talking to. But I just want to tell you that I appreciate you coming on with me. I do have to stop here.
Okay.
Can you respond real quick?
Okay.